And we are continuing our series on the power of your words. And today, our message is on voice activated. Yes. Amen, amen. Yes. And we'll take a look at our bulletin later, but we want to pray and get into the Word of God this morning. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is powerful. Lord, that it is quick and it divides between the soul and spirit. And so today, Lord, as we look at your word, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that it becomes life to each one of us. And Lord, we ask you to cut away what needs to be cut away and give to us, Lord, what we need to strengthen us, Lord, and to cause us to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. It's good to see everybody. Praise God. It is good to be here. We're starting off with a verse in James 1:26. And that verse says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Now, those of you that train horses, you know all about putting a bridle in a horse's mouth. And God says we need a bridle to bridle our tongue. And when you look that up in the Greek, it means to curb the spirit. You know, there's a spirit of rebellion in all of us. And there's this self-will that we just want to have it our way, right? Is that true?
Yes.
We want to have it our way. We want to do it our way. But the Lord says he's bridling our tongue. And if we are not able or we do not yield to him to curb our spirit, then our religion is in vain. He says that man's religion basically is useless. So when we think about it, the tongue is really small. And in proportion to the size of our tongue, it can do a whole lot of good and it can do a whole lot of evil. A man named Bruce Walk said this. He said, a fool's tongue is long enough to cut his own throat. We are working on taming our tongue, right? Right? As a church, we committed to that, and we're wearing these purple bracelets. And there is information on this in your river update. If you're interested, we have purple bracelets down here that you can pick up, and they are to remind us to curb our tongue. They are to remind us that our words have power. Can anyone tell me the four things that we're working on in taming our tongue? If you know, stand up and tell me.
Blame.
That's one.
Gossip.
Mm-hmm.
Complaining.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. That's good. That's good. You almost had them all. Those of you that yelled out an answer, do you have one of these books yet?
No.
All right. Then somebody take one to Becky, please. How about you, Josh? Do you have one of these? All right. Let's take one to Josh. Shirley, do you have one? Okay. Bless you. The tongue is a creative force. Very good. So we're talking about voice activation. And voice activation is really interesting. You can talk to Siri. And you can get all kinds of information from Siri. You can get websites, phone numbers, helpful information, directions on how to get somewhere. I'm wondering, how did we ever get places without Siri? You know, we used to have to get the map out and follow the map. Do you remember? And someone would have to be following the map while the other person was driving because you couldn't do two things at once. But now we have all this voice activation and it just shouts out the directions to you. And I've got an Apple Watch, so my Apple Watch like zaps me when it's time to turn. So all of this is great. And now we have Alexis, and I hear that she's helpful too to give information. I was listening to the news this week, and they said that several people have reported that all of a sudden the device will start laughing. Did you see that on the news? That it's like really kind of eerie, that like at really inappropriate times she starts laughing. So anyway, voice activation is interesting. Many people will set the temperature of their house by using their voice. Turning their lights on and off by using their voice. And you can select music by using your voice. Whatever song you want to play. So modern technology is pretty amazing. Would you agree? Pretty amazing. But the fact is that voice activation is not a new technology at all. In fact, it was actually the first technology that was ever developed. And in the very creation process, the universe came into being as a result of God's voice. God spoke the word. And there was light. He spoke the whole world into existence. And that same technology of voice activation has been available to us since the days of Jesus. He gave us power to speak to our problems and see them respond. In Mark chapter 11, we're going to take a look at Jesus was traveling with his disciples. And he stopped at a fig tree as they were journeying along the way. And he went to the fig tree to find some fruit, and there wasn't any fruit on the tree. And Jesus said to the tree, he said, "Let no one eat from you ever again." And that is in verse 14 of chapter 11 in Mark. So Jesus actually put a curse on that tree. And in Mark 11:21, the scripture says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.'" Now, there's a lot of symbolism with fig trees, but basically, we're not going to go into all of that, but basically, the fig tree gets its figs before it gets its leaves. And it produces two or three crops, and sometimes it will have fruit for up to 10 to 12 months. So when Jesus and the disciples saw this fig tree that was full of leaves, you would automatically think that there was fruit on it. And when he got up to the tree and he looked and it was fruitless, the Lord cursed it. Well, now we can take that on into our own spiritual life. Jesus believes fruit is important. Amen. Amen. So how much spiritual fruit do we have growing in our life when Jesus comes to inspect us? He said we are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Well, if we are the planting of the Lord, then there is fruit that should be growing in our life and should be on display that is from the Spirit, spiritual fruit. Right before this whole passage, Jesus had come and they were rejoicing over him. He had come into the city and they were celebrating Jesus. And then he went in and he cleansed the temple because they were buying and selling in the temple. And they weren't honest with what they were giving people. But he came in and he cleansed the temple and he said, "My house will be called a house of prayer." Each one of us are the house of the Lord. We are a temple of the living God. And so how much prayer is going on in your house. We are the house of the Lord. My house will be called a house of prayer. And so after that is when he saw the fig tree. And there's some symbolism with Israel, but we're not going to go into that. But God judges fruitlessness and expects that those who have a relationship with him will bear much fruit, is what the scripture says. Somebody say amen. But we're talking about the power of the tongue, and it shows the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And we're going to go on. Jesus said this to his disciples. He wanted them to have a God kind of faith. And so if you will read this passage with me, it is Mark 11, 22 through 24. It should be on the PowerPoint. Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So if you are born again, this statement is about you. It's a timeless word in eternity. Some people try to dispensationalize this and say, well, it's not for us today. But this is for us today. It says, whoever. So are you a whoever? Yes. And so whoever has the authority to command to mountains to be removed. You may not feel like it. You may not think so. You may not believe this. You may never put this promise into practice, but it is the word of God for the heirs of salvation. And it is the potential of every Christian living for anyone who believes. Now, the scripture says that we're to believe and not doubt in our heart. Let's take a look at this word doubt in the Greek. It means to separate thoroughly, to withdraw from, or to oppose, to discriminate, or hesitate, to contend with, to differ, to discern, to doubt, to judge, to be partial, to stagger, to waver. Jesus said that if we do not oppose or hesitate, that we can speak to the mountain, to the problem, and see it removed. Jesus was explaining to his disciple how the God kind of faith works. It is voice activated. Amen. Tell your neighbor it's voice activated. You've got to speak to it, and it will be removed. We speak to the mountains to be cast into the sea, never to rise up in judgment against us again. There are mountains of fear, and there are mountains of shame and guilt. And those mountains can be removed and cast into the sea. You see, God has authorized us to do this. Tell your neighbor, I'm authorized. I think you've told your neighbor that before, right? In other messages. But we are authorized by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are authorized by the God of this universe who sits sovereign in the heavenlies. And he has given us authority, and life and death is right here in the tongue. If you don't like the way your life is going, then you need to look at what you are speaking over your situation. because God has given you the authority to change that situation. You can speak to the mountain and not doubt and have the mountain removed. Hallelujah. Those tormenting thoughts that come to hinder you and to keep you from fulfilling your destiny. The enemy, the devil, he will set you up with lies when you are a child so that you do not fulfill the purposes of God. Children that have been traumatized and abused and misused, they begin to believe lies about themselves. They make hard decisions that they're not going to cooperate. They're not going to put themselves in that situation again where they would ever be hurt or abused again. And they make these hard decisions and they close themselves off from other people. And then God is not able to reach them. People are not able to reach them. And they don't even realize that they've made that hard decision deep inside of them long ago, and they live their whole life based on that. And they wonder why they're unhappy. They wonder why they're angry. They wonder why they're frustrated. They wonder why they can't get ahead of life. But it's because of the heart decision that they made, and they began to believe the lie. God wants to set us free from that. God has the power to set us free. You know, it may take some spiritual warfare, and it will always take being a part of the body of Christ and gathering people around you to pray. Jesus already said that we are overcomers. Well, when we ourselves feel like we can't overcome, we need to join in the body of Christ and we need to pray. How much prayer is going on in your life? God said, my house will be called a house of prayer, and you are the house of the Lord. How much prayer is going on in your house? So we actually, think about this, have authority to bind and loose. We have authority to summon or to send things away from us. Did you know that? You don't have to cooperate with demonic spirits or evil that comes towards you. You can speak to that and move that mountain away from you. No, you're not coming in here. Any of you that have raised teenagers know that there are times that you take authority over mountains that try to come into your home. They are mountains of unbelief, rebellion. They want to restrict you. You simply bind up those spirits and they have got to go. They have to go. You anoint your doorways in the name of Jesus. And they have got to go. If you believe that in your heart. You believe that in your heart? Thank you, Lord. We're to have the God kind of faith. Jesus was explaining to his disciples how it works. It is voice activated. You have to speak to the situation. It doesn't matter if other people in your household think that you have lost your mind. Is that right, Janice? That's right. You've got to speak to that mountain to leave in the name of Jesus. The word of God is powerful enough to keep you. It's powerful enough to keep you. It's powerful enough to hold on to you. It's powerful enough to deliver you and keep your feet from falling. Amen. Aren't you glad you've got the word of the Lord? Amen. And it is powerful enough to keep you from backsliding. Yeah. It is powerful enough. If you will speak to that mountain, speak to that temptation to leave you now in the name of Jesus. Apostle Leonard will tell you to pray in tongues. You just need to pray in tongues. That's God's prescription. Begin to speak to that in your heavenly language and tell it to go in Jesus' name. I just want to read the amplified version to you of this same passage. And I'm going to add on a couple verses. And Jesus, replying, said to them, "Have faith in God constantly. Truly, I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it." Somebody needs to hear this morning. Someone who's been standing in prayer. Somebody needs to hear that. "For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it." And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Just leave it. Just let it go. "In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and your own shortcomings, and he will let them drop." He won't hold that against you if you will forgive other people and let it go. But the warning is, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and your shortcomings. Forgiveness is a big key. Forgiving those that have hurt you, used you, abused you. Forgiving them and letting it go. Just letting it drop. Let's just do that right now. Let's just bow our heads everywhere that we are in this place, God. If there's anyone that we do not forgive, Lord, bring that to our attention. And Lord, we ask that we will obey your word today. And you said to forgive, to let it go, to let it drop. Lord, let it drop off of us. Let it fall off of us. Let it be removed from our soul. The pain, the hurt, the trauma. Lord, we forgive. We forgive. You said to forgive those who have trespassed against us. You said to forgive those who despitefully use us. Forgive them and let it go. Lord, watch over us. Cleanse us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Micah 7:19, it says, "He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the seas." All of our sin this morning regarding the situation that you just forgave. Your sin, their sin. Is removed from you. Sometimes people sin against you and you're forced to participate in the sin against your will. God forgives you as you forgive them. And the whole mess is thrown into the sea. Hebrews 10:16-17 says this, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." When God forgives us, he remembers it no more. The psalmist said, "As far as the east is from the west, so are my sins from me." I had a person tell me not too long ago, they said, "Well, you know, people say that God just puts your sins in the sea and puts out a no fishing sign. And that is not in the Bible, and that is not what it says. And I said, well, it doesn't say that God puts out a no fishing sign. But if you keep bringing up your past and the sins that God has forgiven, then why did Jesus go to the cross? Why did you receive salvation and ask the Lord to forgive you if you just wanted to talk about it and keep bringing it up all the time? So in a sense, he puts, don't go there. Don't go there anymore. God is saying, I'm not going there, and I'm the God of the universe, and I'm in charge of your life, if you'll let me be. So don't bring it up again. Let the past be the past, and begin to look at what you can do today. Because we don't have a promise of tomorrow, we just have a promise of today. So what are we going to do today that is going to affect someone else's life and help them draw closer to Jesus? And what are we going to do today in our own lives to bring an increase in the power and the presence of God and a deeper understanding of who He is and how much He loves us? God is a good, good Father. Amen. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. He's giving every person a measure of faith. And then we go on in Romans 10:17, and it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the measure of faith that God gives us to receive salvation, that measure of faith can grow. There are levels of faith. Jesus actually teaches on levels of faith. We don't have it all when we get saved, but we have enough faith to get saved. And then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This isn't a one-time thing. This is something that keeps working in our life. It keeps growing. It keeps growing. Faith keeps growing. It's active in our life. The more we use our faith, the more we voice activate that faith, the more faith we're going to have. So our faith grows. Jesus sent the apostles out, you remember, to heal the sick and to raise the dead and to cast out devils. And they were really excited because they saw results. But then there was one person that had a demon spirit that they could not cast out. Do you remember that? And so they took this person to Jesus, and Jesus cast that spirit out. And he said, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. You see, they hadn't grown in their faith yet to cast that out. So you may have prayed for someone and they weren't healed, but that's okay. You will continue to grow in faith. You are not the healer, God is. We simply pray in faith. We had a minister's meeting here on Monday, and we were talking about a lot of healing ministries. They say they pray for 800 people, no one gets healed. 1,000 people, no one gets healed. And then all of a sudden, there's a breakthrough, and everyone begins to get healed. Well, Bishop told us at the beginning of the year, he said, you get out the healing scriptures, get out the works of Jesus and what he did when he walked upon this earth, and you begin to teach that and practice that. Well, we've always prayed for healing here. Amen? We believe in miracles. We've had many, many miracles happen. But God wants the saints to do the work of the ministry. And for their faith to grow, because miracles don't just happen in the house of the Lord. Miracles happen out in the street. And we found that out when we planted the church and we started our Love and Action program. And we started evangelizing from house to house and praying for people. The greatest miracles happened out there. It was amazing what God will do when you will step out. God will meet you. But God also wants his people to be healed and delivered and set free. And so God's called his church to be a mighty force in these end times. God didn't say that there would be a whole group of people that everybody agreed. Hallelujah. He said there'd be a remnant group. There's a remnant that God is going to use to reach the lost. And I believe you are part of that remnant that God is using in these last days to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captive free. And it happens out on the street. It happens out on the job. It's the day of the saints doing the work of the ministry. Our faith grows. I posted something on Facebook this week from Bishop Owino. We were it was Wednesday night when I was at my Discovering Your Personal Purpose class, and I got a message from him, an urgent message to begin to pray, because the Kenyan government was going in and it was demolishing buildings at midnight, and the military was with them, and they were armed, and people were trying to fight them, and they were demolishing buildings. If you can put that picture up. And he said, please pray. Please pray. These are the poorest of the poor. And yes, they were probably living illegally on ground, but the bulldozers from the government went in and just bulldozed down all of their little shanties and everything that was in it. Now think about it. Think about losing, only having that and losing it. And not having a place to take your family. Not having a place to sleep at night. You see buildings like this everywhere. Bishop Owino ministers down in the slum. It is the poorest of the poor in Kenya. And Sister Joyce was in our class, and I said, can you explain that to us? And she goes, oh yeah, that is very common for the government to go in at midnight and begin to bulldoze buildings. But she said they'll do that because people are living there illegally. And so they take military force and they take their bulldozers. Well, Bishop Owino was calling for prayer. Because, do you see that steel fence? The church and school is right beyond that steel fence. And he said, the church has got to pray, because if the government decides just to move on in, they'll just move on in and bulldoze everything. And we've been a part. Our finances have been a part of helping build the church and helping build the school and establish that. And there's different churches in our area that have supported Bishop Owino. And so we began to pray. This was Wednesday. Lord, give him favor with the government and give him audience with the government. The government won't always hear you. Even if you are legally there, they won't always hear your case. They will just go ahead and do what they want to do. It's a very corrupt government. But he posted this. I read it this morning. Good news. I got a meeting with the government, and the representative was guided by God. After presenting our church papers and land rate payment receipts for the last 11 years, the MCA office agreed that our land is legally ours. I have been advised to go to the office of the governor next week for final clearance. After that meeting, a final report will be issued. I am so grateful to all our friends who are praying. Please keep up your prayers through the meeting with the governor next week. Thank you. Can we give the Lord a praise? God will watch out for his people. So let's lift up this meeting next week. Father, we thank you that Bishop got a meeting with the government and the representative was guided by you. Thank you, God, that you see this all the way through to him meeting with the governor next week, that he will receive this final clearance. And God, we pray for the angels of the Lord to encamp round about the ministry. And we thank you for the bloodline that is around the ministry. And we thank you, God, that the enemy cannot cross that line. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a praise. So the scripture tells us in John 6:63, Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." And Ephesians 4:23, he said to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So it all starts in the realm of the mind with our ability to think and to choose. With our minds, we can decide to agree with the lies of the enemy. Or with our minds, we can refuse. If we decide to agree with the lies of the enemy, then we see our life begin to spiral down, both mentally, physically, and spiritually. This isn't Christian science, but it is actually Christian sense. When we consciously direct our thinking, we can wire out negative thought patterns, toxic thought patterns, and actually replace them with truth. And new thought networks began to grow in our spirit of our mind. It's all spiritual. It all starts with the realm of the mind, with our ability to think and choose, which is the most powerful thing in the universe after God. And it is fashioned after God. It's with our minds that we understand the truth that sets down in our spirit. It's with our minds that we wire these truths into our brain and they become automatic thoughts. It's with our minds that we choose to develop the spiritual part of us. And we begin to understand by the word of God who we are. We are not what people say we are. People will misinterpret your motive. They will misunderstand you. But you know, when you become a Christian, you give up the right to be understood by other people. There are some rights that you give up when you become a Christian. You know, people can think whatever they want. It's a free world, right? But Dr. Summerall always says, your happiness is not dependent upon what's in someone else's head. We've got to remember that. We've got to remember that. James, this is our last scripture, 1:21. He says, therefore, lay aside. To lay something aside is to put it away, to cast it off. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness. Filthiness is being morally dirty. That's what it means. Put it away. Cast it off. All the filthiness and the overflow. Get this. There is an overflow of wickedness. An overflow. In other words, there is a superabundance of wickedness. The scripture tells us to put it away, to cast it off, to not be a part of the superabundance of wickedness that is in our world today. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We're called to come out from among them and be separate. We don't participate in what they do. He said, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Only the word of God can save your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. There is nothing else that is going to save us except for the word of God. It is alive. My word is spirit. My word is life. If we will open up our hearts and receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, we will be changed. And Jesus will become famous in our lives. Because people will be around you, and when they're around you, they know they've been around Jesus. So God's word is able to save our soul. And we activate God's word in our lives by speaking it over everything. I have made a purpose and committed to whatever is going on, I'm going to find a scripture to speak it over that situation. We pray it and declare it and decree it. That's a good thing. So we're going to close today with our lesson. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you that you're teaching us how to use your word. And Lord, you're teaching us that your word is more powerful than anything else. Father, I thank you that I'm going to pray this scripture over you, Romans 13:12. It says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And so today, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for removing from us, Lord, any desire to participate in the works of darkness. For removing from us, Lord, any desire to be a part of what is going on in this world that is not in agreement with your word. Lord, help us to walk the narrow way. And Lord, we thank you that you are putting on an armor of light. And just let God put that armor of light on you. You probably came in wearing it, most of you. But there is an armor of light that God has given to us. It is a spiritual armor that we wear. And Lord, we thank you for the armor of light that is on us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We choose to follow God's will. And the scripture said to live in peace with all people as much as is possible for you. You're not responsible for someone else's peace, because there are some folks you will never make happy. You know that's right, don't you? So we let it go, let God, and don't let him weigh you down or hold you back, because God has called you to be more than a conqueror. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise.